Well, today you'll have to use your imagination to see the slides that I prepared for the service today. I won't bore you or interrupt my sermon with them, but I just want to let you know that they're in the computer, and sometime or other we'll get them so that you might see them in another sermon someday. In many and various ways, God has spoken to our ancestors of old through the prophets, but now in these last days, God has spoken to us by the Son. Amen. Well, today's text depends upon the context of the Gospel of Luke. All of chapter 16, from which we read today, is about the wealth, or the righteous use of wealth. Pastor Annetzi started it last week, and we continue today. Today's gospel text reveals what happens to what Pastor Annetzi's text was talking about. To those who serve unrighteous mammon, they are separated from the place of highest bliss, the bosom of Abraham. There was a warning in last Sunday's gospel from the first half of this chapter. You cannot serve both. You cannot serve both God and money. In the first part of this reading, we see the story of two men's life on earth and beyond. The rich man, we are told, we are never told his name, lives a life of privilege and wealth, spending it all on himself and failing to heed his neighbor, who is literally at his doorstep. Lazarus is a poor man who is hungry and covered with sores. The rich man enjoys his life. He has fine clothes, sumptuous food, the scripture says, and evidently lots of it. But he is unconcerned for the future. He has fun with all of this. The word for feasting literally means to make merry. It's the same word for feasting that was used of the feast in the story of the prodigal son. And this rich man had a good time, and he relished his riches. Maybe a little bit too much. Lazarus, the one whose name we know, lives on the opposite side of life. While the rich man has a home, Lazarus exists on the street, outside the rich man's house, separated by a gate to keep the riffraff out, much as we saw when we were in Guatemala a couple years ago, where people live behind walls with gates for protection. Lazarus was malnourished. If only he could have eaten the bread from the rich man's table. There were no napkins, you see, in that culture. Rather, the people used their bread to wipe their hands. And then after you wiped your hands, you tossed them under the table where the dogs were lying, and they would likely gobble it up. And then they came out to Lazarus to lick his sores. Not a pretty sight, but a difficult existence. The next part of the story is a fulfillment of Mary's song, which we heard at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Remember the Magnificat and how in that song Mary sings that the mighty would be brought down from their thrones and the humble of heart be lifted up. In this part of the story, the rich become poor and the poor become rich. Even the order of the tale is reversed. In part one, the rich man is mentioned first and Lazarus second. Now it is Lazarus' death which is reported first, and only then is the rich man mentioned as he dies. Matter of factly, we learn that he dies. Lazarus is carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. When the rich man dies, he just gets buried. The final part is the most developed. Lazarus did not speak while on earth. Now it is Abraham who speaks for the one who had no voice. The rich man is still able to speak for himself. If only Lazarus could come and dip his finger into water to cool his burning agony. The nerve that rich guy had. Just think about it for a minute. He knew Lazarus' name. Did he not know of Lazarus' plight in life? And now that he's dead, he still regards Lazarus as being able to serve his needs. His needs. But Abraham speaks for Lazarus. He says, "Remember the good things you had while Lazarus had only bad things? And now the tables are turned. He is the one in comfort, while you are the one in agony. The Beatitudes of Luke are fulfilled. Their realities are reversed. The hungry one is filled. The well-fed one goes hungry. The chasm of indifference and apathy toward neighbor on the part of the rich man has turned into a chasm that has cut himself off from any relief. Well, then, maybe Lazarus can go back and warn my brothers. Interesting how he still considers Lazarus to be his errand boy, isn't it? But don't they have Moses and the prophets, the scriptures? Moses who says, don't be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your neighbors when they are in need. Aren't the words of Amos enough? Those who are not grieved over the ruin of others will be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers will pass away. No, no warnings. They already have their instruction, and it comes from the Book of Life. Then Lazarus makes the plea that someone should come back from the dead, and that would move his brothers to repentance. Since the time of John the Baptizer, we have been hearing the call for repentance in this gospel. Now we hear that theme again from the one who would not repent. Abraham's response marks the importance of hearing the message of Moses and the prophets. Moreover, he makes explicit what Luke's audience already knows, that even if someone like Jesus rises from the dead, even that is not enough to convince people to turn their hearts to God. How could it be that one would rise from the dead and still some would refuse to repent? Will those brothers hear anyone? They didn't listen to Moses, nor to Amos, nor to John the Baptizer, nor now to Jesus. Just who are those brothers and sisters the rich man is talking about? Dear friends in Christ, We are the brothers and sisters of the rich man in today's story. We live in fine houses just as he did. Mine has 22 steps up to the front door, a fence around my yard, a gate that is hard to open. Even the turkeys stay out. And since we plugged up the hole under the deck, the deer have stayed out too. Even the pizza delivery has difficulty getting into our yard. And yet I still have enough so that from time to time, I don't even have to cook, but I get on the phone, call for pizza, and it gets brought all 22 steps up to my front door. Dear friends in Christ, we are the rich one in today's story. It says in one of the passages that the definition of someone who is rich is someone who has a gold ring upon their finger. Many of us have those gold rings. We indeed are rich in many things. Will we share our pizza money with those people that are around us? Will we be neighbors to the homeless in our community? Will we help out at the daytime drop-in center? Will we serve a night in the men's shelter or the women's shelter? Will we provide a sack lunch for the hungry? Will we pay heed to those who are in need in our town, our country, our world? Thankfully, we do these things, and we do them cheerfully. Last week when we asked for help with the EDA Fund, you opened your wallet and donated $425. $425 in 1 week. I think that's generous. That's my opinion. But what about that came to us for help before we could get that check written for the EDA Fund? What about those people? What about those other needs that we see? Who will speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves? Who will take the time to go to the city hearings and say something good about the homeless in Corvallis who are being maligned? Which of us will write a letter to the GT to advocate for those who are mentally ill or aging or whose health is slipping away? Who will write our representatives? Who will call our senators? Who will repent? Who will turn about? who will take the new steps that are needed to change the lives indeed? Who indeed will go in peace today and remember the poor? Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and righteousness. Amen.